Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is Karen Truelove. She started getting massive headaches, getting really ill, feeling sick, and she said it got so bad that she didn't even plan her days anymore. She just tried to get through them.
That is one of the many descriptions of health problems documented in the Oscar-nominated documentary Gasland by filmmaker Josh Fox. In his attempt to get to the bottom of the effects of hydraulic fracturing, the process of extracting natural gas from underground deposits, he travels around the country hearing people's stories of the health and environmental effects that they say are the result of fracking in their area. You've probably heard of the controversy surrounding hydrofracking. It's become a hot topic locally because, if approved, fracking could take place in the New York City watershed, which supplies water to 15 million people, and it's happening all over the country. So if there's a possibility that fracking contaminates groundwater, as opponents insist, that's a big deal for all of us. Josh Fox joins me now. This is the second in our week-long look at the Oscar-nominated documentaries. Josh Fox, welcome back to WNYC.
Thanks so much, Brian. It's great to be here. I'm a big fan.
Thank you very much. Hydrofracking of natural gas deposits is happening all over the country. Tell me how you're personally connected to this story.
Well, we're in the middle of the largest domestic natural gas drilling onshore campaign in history. It's happening in 34 states. And what's happened starting in around 2008, large sections, about 50% of New York State and 65% of Pennsylvania, started to get leased for natural gas. And my family's home in the Upper Delaware River Basin, which is a part of that interconnected watershed system that brings water to New York, Philadelphia, and southern New Jersey, we were approached for a gas lease on our property, which is 19 and a half acres, not a huge amount of land, not a small amount of land, and that was worth about $100,000 signing bonus. And all over the area, people were talking about this. The entire of the Upper Delaware River Basin, including the New York City watershed, all the way across the state, was being leased by natural gas drilling by natural gas companies for this form of drilling called fracking. The natural gas industry, of course, when they came in, they say, "Oh, everything's going to be great. You're going to make a lot of money. You'll hardly know we're here. It's very environmentally friendly." But then neighbors of mine had looked into the process and discovered that, you know, the process itself was it caused enormous land scarring. There were toxic chemicals in huge quantities that were injected under the ground. People had been reporting across the United States of contamination of their water supply, including places where you could light the water on fire. And I, you know, my father just handed me this letter and said, "What is this? Just figure this out," because he thought it was some kind of a con.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started to investigate it. Went to a nearby town in Pennsylvania where they had started drilling, called Dimmock, and that was just, the place was completely overrun, industrialized, Halliburton trucks swarming everywhere, residents very concerned and confused and felt betrayed. Their children were getting sick by drinking their water, their animals were getting sick, and then, of course, these phenomenon of people being able to light their water on fire because there was so much natural gas that had gotten into their aquifer, and to the point to which the gas companies had to come and disconnect their water supplies because their houses could explode.
So here's another clip from the film in which you speak with a resident in Dimmock, Pennsylvania, the first stop on your road trip.
Next up on my tour of Dimmock was Debbie May.
In the beginning of November, our water turned color. It had started tasting funny, like a metallic-y.
The other thing that was bothering Debbie May, well, was something that was happening with her animals.
Sorry, they don't come outside.
Their hair was falling out.
See how she's gone wrong.
And one of her cats was projectile vomiting.
We have three cats that it's happened into.
And then when you said this to the DEP, what did they tell you?
They told me I clean with too much Lysol.
Uh-huh.
And I told one of Cabot's attorneys about it, and he told me that it comes from telephone poles.
So has the cat been out playing with the telephone poles?
The cat doesn't go outside ever.
So you have, and my guest is Josh Fox, director of the Oscar-nominated documentary Gasland. You have footage of her animal's hair clearly falling out, water from people's taps setting on fire, an extremely disturbing sight. You have footage of really dirty water,
yeah,
chronic health problems, all effects that people are saying are the result of drilling in their area. And you also have critics, Energy in Depth, a lobbying group for the industry, who you say you have somehow falsified information. So for the record, you're totally convinced that fracking has resulted in contaminated groundwater that has caused these health effects?
not only am I totally convinced of it, our film is backed up by the facts and by the science and by extensive journalistic review. You know, we stand behind it 100%. This is par for the course when the industry starts attacking people and any journalist outfit that comes out against what's happening or even reports on the statistics. See, the natural gas business, and I got to be clear about this, especially for people in New York, what this means is a wholesale industrialization of the Upper Delaware River and of the Catskills. Not only that, but across New York State. And that, I think, has got to be something concerning for people in New York City. But what the gas industry comes in and tries to say is that this is very environmentally friendly, and the fundamental lie that the business is based on is that that it's okay to live in an area where there's extensive natural gas drilling. They have to convince people that it's okay to live there because they can't buy everybody's land. They just lease everybody's land. And this is the premise in which they approach you. So when they come in, they're already two steps ahead of the game and saying, well, this is going to be fine. And then, of course, what I discovered in every area where this gas drilling was happening were these same effects: water contamination, incredible air pollution, health effects, and the sense that people no longer had control over their basic environment. The science that we've actually, our research is published on our website at gaslandthemovie.com. You can go there. But it's not surprising to me that the industry has attacked the film, or that they're using their massive PR money to go out and try to wage a misinformation campaign about it.
And a lot of people, I think, including Governor Cuomo, think that the science is not yet resolved, and they're trying to keep an open mind in terms of seeing not just whether they should allow fracking, yes or no, but maybe where or what kind or in what ways. And one of the problems that you point out in the film is that information about the chemicals used to frack is not publicly available. So here's another clip from the film on that point.
We've begun to look at what's being used to drill a well. Data that the government should be collecting but isn't collecting. We've been able to get our hands on some of that.
Because of the exemptions, fracking chemicals are considered proprietary, like the special sauce for a Big Mac or the secret formula for Coca-Cola. The only reason we know anything about the fracking chemicals is because of the work of Theo Colborne. By chasing down trucks, combing through material safety data sheets, and collecting samples, Theo has identified 596 different chemicals in 900 chemical products.
Every environmental law we wrote to protect public health is ignored.
Secret ingredients for fracking, like the secret sauce on a Big Mac. Explain those exemptions that you refer to.
The process of hydraulic fracturing really exploded across the United States in 2005 when the Bush-Cheney government in their omnibus energy bill inserted what's called the Halliburton loophole, which is an exemption to the Safe Drinking Water Act, a federal Safe Drinking Water Act. Federal Safe Drinking Water Act controls underground injection of toxic chemicals or of chemicals. You have to report those chemicals to the EPA, and in some cases you have to get a permit. The hydraulic fracturing does exactly that, and the exemption to that law allows these companies to inject the chemical mixtures. And when you do fracking, you need what's called fracking fluid. There are chemical additives at different stages of the process. Theo Colborne, who is there, who actually is featured in the Hazen and Sawyer report that Mayor Bloomberg commissioned, which showed that fracking in the watershed would be a catastrophic risk to New York City's water supply. She actually was an independent researcher living in Colorado. And she investigated these fracking chemicals, which the companies refused to disclose because of this exemption. They're allowed to have those chemicals remain proprietary. Some companies now are saying, well, we're going to voluntarily disclose what we're pumping into the ground, but it's not the kind of thing where they're subject to a law. And just last week, or I think it was 2 weeks ago, the gas industry was found lying to Congress and to the EPA because they were injecting diesel fuel directly into the ground. So this is not an industry that's trustworthy in a sense, but the chemicals, yes, we have an idea of what a large quantity of them are. But when you have these chemicals turning up in somebody's water supply, it is really difficult to determine what the source is because the industry themselves is not required to report those things. In one of the investigations out in Wyoming, the EPA actually had to invent the tests to test for these chemicals, which they suspected were the chemicals that they were using in fracking. We know they're the ones we're using in fracking, but the industry is, of course, stonewalling and saying we're not using those chemicals at those locations. So it's very important that the Safe Drinking Water Act exemption is overturned, and that's one of the things that we're campaigning for.
We're talking to filmmaker Josh Fox. His documentary Gasland has been nominated for a Best Documentary Oscar. We're doing a series of interviews with people from all five of the Best Oscar documentary nominees in this time slot all this week, Monday through Friday, 5 days, five films, five guests. And on this one, we mentioned Governor Cuomo before. There is a temporary moratorium on this in effect in New York State. And Jesse in Kensington, Brooklyn, has a question, I think, about the governor. Jesse, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Okay.
Thanks a lot for having me on. I wanted to ask Mr. Fox and you as well, specifically, you've talked about the power of the GAF lobby, and specifically, groups like the Working Families Party and other groups have, worked hard to get this initial moratorium on. Now, I wonder if what Cuomo's position is so far, or if there is some way of pressuring him, considering the fact that he rode into office saying that, he wanted to get rid of corruption, and, the GAF lobby's lobbying is part of that corruption. Is there a way to kind of open his eyes that way by saying, look, you said you're against corruption. This is a corrupt practice. Get on it.
Jesse, well, thank you. And he probably wouldn't consider it corruption as opposed to, lobbying in their interest, and he's going to make an independent decision. I'm sure that's how Governor Cuomo would put it. But go ahead.
Well, there's an enormous downward pressure on Albany from the gas industry. There's no question there. And the moratorium that was passed is like a monument to the incredible grassroots activity that's happening all across New York State. I mean, when we toured New York State with the film, I went personally all throughout the state. We saw thousands of people turn out to see it. We saw people concerned. There's a grassroots organization formed on this in every tiny little town in that whole section of New York State. It's an enormous movement that people don't see, I think, and also here in New York City. So the lobbying war that's happening in Albany is a daily thing. But I will point out that Maurice Hinchey, the congressman in the watershed, who has advocated even just the most minimal reforms and has been a leader on this for the FRAC Act, for the law that would overturn the Safe Drinking Water Act federally, the gas industry ran a $2 million campaign against him in what was a safe district. He barely got through with 10,000 votes. There is a huge pressure being exerted on our political system by the gas companies and by them, not only just direct lobbying, but also spending on races and scaring politicians that they're going to run huge, huge campaigns against them.
One of the comments on our website, kind of from the other side, says, a century ago, we accepted dirty soot and smoke coming from burning coal and wood, etc. Today, oil is getting scarce and pricey, and coal is still too dirty, and so natural gas is the most abundant and available fuel source. Unfortunately, many people are going to have to move away from those areas and back into the cities. Hopefully, there may be some way to make the process more environmentally friendly, but the fact is that we are the Saudi Arabia of natural gas, and it will have to be used until alternative sources become viable and more affordable. Your response to that?
Well, I think alternative sources are affordable and viable. What we're talking about here is not the next 5 minutes. What we're talking about here is an energy source that they're trying to create as the next 20 to 30 or 50 years. And when you're talking about a build-out for natural gas, you're talking about $350 billion for power plants, $350 billion for pipelines that are crisscrossing everywhere across the state. It's an enormously perilous proposal. And what we should be doing is actually investing in renewable energy and truly green and clean energy, because you can't just say that people are going to have to move out of 50% of New York State.
Yeah.
I mean, that's ridiculous. But in fact, that is what is happening. When I've gone back around the
country. And that's
what
a supporter says.
Yeah.
Let me jump in, because
I want to also make one other point, which is that natural gas has been shown just recently not to be any cleaner than coal in terms of emissions, because when you're doing the fracking, you're venting off so much raw methane and raw natural gas into the atmosphere through the pipelines, the condensate tanks, the compressor stations, all that machinery, that it's actually contributing as much emissions as you would
and
by burning coal.
We just have 30 seconds left, and I have to ask you this burning question. Are you going to the Oscar ceremony on the 27th?
Of course. I'm going to the Oscars. Who wouldn't go to the Oscars?
You have a speech prepared if you win?
I'm working on it. I speak about this every day, so it's a question of what I have to choose.
What can you say in those 25 seconds before the music starts? Would it affect the issue? 15 seconds. If you win?
I think it will. I think it's the nomination itself has encouraged people enormously and has been inspiring to people who haven't had a voice. And I think that this is going to be, I think it's already been huge. And obviously to win would be another gigantic thing. So
Josh Fox, his documentary on natural gas hydrofracking is called Gasland, nominated for a Best Documentary Oscar. Thanks a lot.
Thank you so much.
And we continue this series tomorrow, looking at the movie Restrepo, also nominated for a Best Documentary Oscar. Talk to you then. Brian Lehrer on WNYC.